Today with Joseph Prince.
God is saying to you, I will surely show you grace in your situation. Right now, you think that you're all by yourself. You think that, oh, I'm advancing in age. I'll be left all alone. God is saying, I will surely show you grace for Jesus' sake. Amen. You say that, I don't know, the doctor says there are many cases like that, and three in one will not make it and all that. Hey, forget about that. God says, I will surely show you, Hasid. I will show you grace for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. I don't have enough. I will surely show you. Show you. Not anyone else. Show you. They may get to know, but it's not for them. Surely show you, Hasid, for Jesus' sake. The Holy Spirit is reminding us, your walk will never be perfect, but you can eat continually. And you know what happens when you eat at a table? Your feet is hidden. So God is saying to you, hey, you know something? Don't look at your lame feet. Look at the table, at all the goodness of God spread out for you.
This December, get the Be At Rest, Watch God Do the Rest 3 CD audio series as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. Call now and you will also receive a bonus 2020 wall calendar.
Walking in the Spirit is resting in Christ. Whatever is born of the Spirit, the Bible says, overcomes the world. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who believe they are made righteous by Jesus' blood and not by their performance. That is what it means to walk in the Spirit.
And for a specific gift to the ministry, you will receive an exclusive gift set, which includes Joseph's brand new 4-DVD album, Where is God in the Midst of Your Trouble?
The disciples were all in the boat. Jesus was walking on the storm. Only one of them asked, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Jesus says, come. He's the only one that walked on the water. The rest never walked on the water. Why? They didn't ask. You have not because you ask not. Prayer changes things.
Don't miss this limited time offer. Request your copy today at josephprince.org or call us toll free at 877-769-5433.
Right into the word. John chapter 1, verse 17. One of my favorite, if not my favorite verse in the Bible. For the law, I have many, many favorite verses. How about you? All right, look at your neighbor beside you and say, you know, I think we are in for an exciting feast for the next 3 hours. Your faith is not strong enough. Only 3. Okay. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the law was given through a servant. Grace and truth came personally through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth in Hebrew, chesed ve'emet. Now, I'm going to share with you the story of David and how chesed played a vital role in his life, together with King Saul's family and Jonathan, and you're gonna see the how this covenant works. So we come to the story of Jonathan and David. And what happened is, after David killed Goliath, at the end of the battle, he was standing there before King Saul with the head of Goliath. It was very heavy because he was nearly a 10-footer. All right. Jonathan, Saul's son from Saul's family. Look at David, and the Bible says God knitted his heart. And this is what happened. He cut a covenant. He loved David as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe. This is how they did it those days. All right? We'll take off our robe, which means my position is not your position. And gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. You know, Jesus on the cross was completely naked. It's a picture of, you know, he took our nakedness and he took our shame. Why? So that we can all be clothed. Amen. You are redeemed from shame. Amen. Amen. It was paid for. He redeemed you from shame. Amen. Then what happened is that, you know, the celebration was so good. The people of Israel chased down the enemies. And there was such a great celebration. When Saul went back to his palace in Gibeah, the women started singing and they had a latest hit. Amen. Their best-selling song was, Saul has slain his thousands. David slayed 10,000. Then Saul's eyebrow went like this. Saul had this rising in his heart. What is that called? Jealousy. wow, they only gave me 1,000. Gave David 10,000. That's the beginning of his animosity towards David. Now, David would come to Saul's presence when he was oppressed. And now, an evil spirit came on Saul at times and oppressed him. It's a depression. By the way, in the Young's Bible, it says a spirit of darkness, sadness would come on Saul. And then he would go crazy. He would start throwing spears at people and all that. Today, they shoot at their furniture and their television. But in those days, you know, he would throw spears. And David would come and they would play his harp. And all of a sudden, the evil spirit would just leave and he would feel happy again. But this time, when jealousy came into his heart, something else happened. When David started playing, he had a different reaction. He took the javelin, right? He was jealous of David and he tried to kill David. So what happened was that there was a new moon coming up, a festival, and David was always eating with the king, as well as being his armor bearer, you know. He was there, invited to sit at the table, which he's normally do. But now that this guy has gone crazy, you know, and he's bitter and all that towards, and jealous towards David and all that, and he's always having a javelin near him. So David's trying to find an excuse not to attend that party. So David told Jonathan, please, you know, let me know if the party, you are there and your father, the party will last for a few days, 3 days. He says that before I attend the first day, you gauge his mood. Is he okay or not? All right, let me know. And it's very sad. You know, this whole thing, if you can, I'll tell you right now, David represents God in this whole story. God is telling us this whole true story here that really happened, all right, in the Old Testament. He's telling us all this because there's a message here for all of us. David represents God. Jonathan represents Jesus, who came to be of the human, from man's family, mankind. Saul represents all mankind. We've all sinned, correct? Okay, so Jesus came from the house of Saul, came as a man. You got it? Okay, so David here represents God and they both cut a covenant, like what I shared just now. Are you with me so far? And then the Bible tells us he sat down there, David wasn't there, and the father was holding the javelin and looking at David's empty seat. I'm looking at David when I point there. I'm looking at David's empty seat and he's holding his javelin. And he's look at his son. Where's David? So his son tried to explain and all that. And out from Saul came this outburst. I thought it was good for you to see this. Then Saul's anger was aroused against Jonathan, his son. And he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman. I don't know why you say that. Do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives, son of Jesse is David, lives on the earth, you shall not be established, nor your kingdom. Now that's true. All right? He knows that David will become king. Right? But he wanted to kill David. Now therefore send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said to him, why should he be killed? What has he done? You know, when I read this, it's very reminiscent of this word. Why? What has he done? What evil has he done? Who said that? Why? What has he done? What evil has he done? Who said that? Pontius Pilate. Remember he told the people, the leadership of Israel? Why? What evil has he done? What evil has he done? Then Saul cast a spear at him. Even his son cannot a spear. He escaped, of course, but by which Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to kill David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had treated him shamefully. The second day of the month is the day of the feast. They're supposed to celebrate. They're supposed to eat, but he refused to eat, all right? Because his father had treated his best friend, his covenant brother, shamefully. The Bible goes on to say that he went to the field the next morning and he brought his assistant, the young man. The young man knows nothing. David was hiding, the Bible says, near a rock, near the forest. And he took his 3 arrows and he shot as far as he can all the 3 arrows. And he shouted, go! And the young man thought he was referring to him. Go, 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 hands. Make haste. Don't stop. Quickly. And the young man ran faster. Look at the arrows. It was a message for David. I believe there were tears in Jonathan's eyes. This will be one of the last times, besides one more time, he met David. But the Bible says that after the young man came back, he told the young man, go back home first. And then out of the rock, David came up. And he met David one more time. And this is what Jonathan said. He said to David, go in peace. Since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, may the Lord be between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever. So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. What did Jonathan say? The Lord be between me and you and our descendants. Our descendants. In other words, all the descendants are part of the covenant benefits. Jesus cut the covenant. We are all the descendants. We are all the seed. That's why we are Abraham's seed. We are actually different from the people of the world. Have you realized that? Whether you like it, you don't like it, they will treat us different because we are different. We are covenant people. Amen. I'll tell you this. It's a sad part. I've been there. My pastors, Lawrence, have been there. Also, Mount Gilboa, where the battle between Saul and the Philistines were fought. And Saul died there. Okay? And then his three sons also died, plus Jonathan died. And when the news came back to David that Jonathan had died and Saul had died, he wept for them both. And the news came back to the family of Saul. King Saul is dead. King Saul is dead on Mount Gilboa. So there was a panic going on. They all start rushing and grabbing. Jonathan had one son. Let's tell the story. 2 Samuel 4:4. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old. The nurse took him and fled. 5 years old. And it happened as she made haste to flee. You know, Lawrence, I was thinking of that place, the slope that went down. That's where I thought he might have fallen. The maid fell. He fell. His feet was crushed. It happened as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. Now, Hebrew scholars tell us there are two ways to define his name. Mephibosheth. Boshef means shame. That's established. But Mephi, they say, can either mean breathing out shame or exterminating shame. Okay? Breathing out shame. That's how mankind lives. They breathe out shame. The things they're saying, you know, about themselves, the things they're seeing in their life, they have settled for that kind of life. But finally, David ascended the throne. And one day he looked at his hand, at his wrist, and he saw the incision where he and Jonathan made the incision. And this is what David said. Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness, chesed, for Jonathan's sake? Is there anyone left of the house of Saul after he became king? Is there anyone left? God is saying, the cry goes out throughout the earth. Is there anyone left for whom Jesus died that I can show my kindness, my glory, my goodness, my blessings to? Then came a servant of Saul. He used to be the ex-servant of Saul. Hey? His name is Ziba. He's from the house of Saul. He came to David. Don't forget, say servant of Saul. You're about to find real quick, servant and son. When David had called him to David, the king says, are you Ziba? At your service. The king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? I love this expression. Chesed. In the original, it says, Chesed Elohim. The kindness of God. He says, you worked for Saul before, right? He says, yes. Do you know if there's any other child, anyone else from the house of Saul that I can show chesed, grace of God too? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. So the king said, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lo Dabar. Lo means no, Dabar means either davar is God's word. Word, when you say word, is davar. Like the book of Deuteronomy, davarim, plural, words. Davar is word, no word, or davar can mean no pasture. It describes the place of Lodabar, no pasture. Imagine a prince living in a place. And as he was growing up, Mephibosheth might have heard, you are supposed to be on the throne, not David. You are supposed to be a prince, not living like this, not eating like this, not living in this kind of environment. You are supposed to live in the palace. You know, you. And that's what people tell. That's what the devil is telling mankind. So you might as well believe there's no God. You might as well believe that God doesn't care. Oh, you believe in God? Just believe he's far away. He doesn't care. And all the other thoughts that went into Mephibosheth's heart. Right? So, go on. King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir from Lodabar. I love this. I gotta stop here and say, he sent and brought. You know, God didn't say, you come to where I am. He came to where we were. Amen. He went to find. God sent his son. Amen. Like David went to his brothers in the field with bread and cheese and all that. God sent Jesus. Now, watch this. Don't forget the picture of God. David is a picture of God, right? Who is Jonathan? Jesus. He died already. Now, when you use typology and all that, please don't from now on read your Bible. Everything Jonathan does means Jesus. Everything David does is God. Of course not. Committing adultery and all that, David did, and murder and all that. So you must know, all right, where is a type? Where is a type? The story is a type. To illustrate something, because the Bible is so rich, it's multifaceted, multi-level, you know, interpretation. So there's a story there. And number one interpretation is always Jesus. He's in all the scriptures. Amen? So the Bible says Mephibosheth was found, the son of Jonathan. So they brought Mephibosheth to David's palace. And when he was there, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David says, Mephibosheth? And he answered, he must have some his father's look still. Here is your servant. David said to him, do not fear. I will surely show you kindness. In the Hebrew, it is a double. I will surely, so you put the word surely. I will show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. Chesed, I will show you grace for Jonathan, your father's sake. Hey, look up here. God is saying to you, I will surely show you grace in your situation. Right now, you think that you're all by yourself. You think that, oh, I'm advancing in age. I'll be left all alone. God is saying, I will surely show you grace for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. You say that, I don't know, the doctor says there are many cases like that and three in one will not make it and all that. Hey, forget about that. God says, I will surely show you, chesed. I will show you grace for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. I don't have enough. I will surely show you. Show you. Not anyone else. Show you. They may get to know, but it's not for them. Surely show you. Chesed. For Jesus' sake. Amen. And will restore to you restoration. Even you have lost. When God shows you chesed, grace, kindness, all that's lost will come back. And restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Don't we take communion? Huh? The table of the Lord. Hey, come on. You will eat at the king's table with all my sons. You will eat at my table continually. Then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon me such a dead dog as I? Dead dog is Hebraism for garbage, okay? Why were you? He's breathing out what? Shame. Remember his name? Mephibosheth. Boshef means shame. Okay, drop down. And the king called the Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. Listen, this is important. I underline that first. Let me read this. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him. To the servant, Saul's servant, he says, you will work the land for him. For Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, I have given. Do you know the difference? To the child of grace, God says, you don't work, you receive, I have given. To the servant, God says, you work. And you work for him. Okay. Now look up here. When David spoke to Jonathan, when God speaks to the child of grace, no word of command, just grace. Do not be afraid. I will surely show you. I will restore to you. I have given. Only grace, no command, no laws. To the servant, those who have a religion of a servant, those who have a spirit of a servant, this is how they live. No grace, no word of grace spoken. Only command, you till the land, you work, you do this, you and your sons, right? Do you know the difference now? Servant and son? You are a son, you're not a servant. I like the way it ends. It says here, drop down all the way. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table. And then the Holy Spirit put this, and he was lame in both his feet. Now look up here, people. Look up here. Why did God say he was lame in both his feet? Some people say, all right, you cannot be lame. And by the way, he realized that there's a rumor, right? You cannot be lame, not just your jokes. You cannot be lame in your walk with God. You cannot be lame and come to God's presence. But you know something? He was lame when he came to God's presence. He didn't have a perfect walk. Continually, the Holy Spirit is reminding us, your walk will never be perfect. But you can eat continually. And you know what happens when you eat at a table? Your feet is hidden. So God is saying to you, hey, you know something? Don't look at your lame feet. Look at the table, at all the goodness of God spread out for you. Are you with me so far? There came a time later on, David will flee from Jerusalem because of Absalom. The Bible tells us there you see the heart of Mephibosheth. He never shaved his beard. That's why Mephibosheth. He never shaved his beard until David came back. His heart was longing for David. You see, it's the real character. His heart was longing for David. Whereas Ziba showed his real color. He didn't have a heart for the king. He coveted Saul's land. So you know what? When we look at this, we can't tell the result, the fruit, the works, right? Time will tell. But the child of grace had a heart for the king. But the servant who says, all that you command me, I will do, had a heart for the land. The land of the king, not the king. When love touches your heart, you love the divine lover. And you are loved. No, come, eat and be strong. Amen. He loves you. He will surely show you kindness. Give praise to God. Hallelujah.
Dear friends, Wendy and I are so delighted to wish you a Merry Christmas. We love Christmas because we get to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus and His great love for us. It always warms my heart to remember how He came to us in the dark of night to be the light in our world so that we can have His help and favor in every circumstance. That's why this month I have a special teaching resource to help you remember how much He loves you and is working on your behalf in your very area of need.
The Lord loves you so much. If you're feeling lonely or discouraged today, I want you to know our Lord Jesus is Emmanuel. He is with you right now in your situation. If you have a condition in your body or someone you love is unwell, He is your very present help in time of need. Jesus is ever ready to heal you and your loved ones, just as you call on Him.
Wendy and I are believing that this Christmas won't be just an ordinary holiday for you, but one that's full of our Lord Jesus' presence, joy, and peace. Have a wonderful Christmas.
This December, get the Be At Rest, Watch God Do the Rest 3-CD audio series as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. Call now and you will also receive a bonus 2020 wall calendar.
Walking in the Spirit is resting in Christ. Whatever is born of the Spirit, the Bible says, overcomes the world. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who believe they are made righteous by Jesus' blood and not by their performance. That is what it means to walk in the Spirit.
And for a specific gift to the ministry, you will receive an exclusive gift set, which includes Joseph's brand new 4-DVD album, Where is God in the Midst of Your Trouble?
The disciples were all in the boat. Jesus was walking on the storm. Only one of them asked, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Jesus says, come. He's the only one that walked on the water. The rest never walked on the water. Why? They didn't ask. You have not because you ask not. Prayer changes things.
Don't miss this limited time offer. Request your copy today at josephprince.org or call us toll free at 877-769-5433.
I've suffered with rheumatoid arthritis since I was in my late 20s. I knew there was a spiritual side to the Lord's Supper, that it wasn't just a symbol. I really never thought about the physical aspect of that until I read Pastor Prince's teaching on that. After about a week and a half of taking the Lord's Supper, I woke up one morning and I had no swelling in my hands. And that was just miraculous for me. And as I began to have that morning after morning, I began to walk in that and just say, this has occurred. It is a healing. So, you know, now it's just, I walk in freedom from this moment on. I walk pain-free in freedom, and I'm so thankful, so thankful. And I think the second half of my life is going to be so different from the first. And I love that.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.